Give the floor to our speaker, so you have the floor, madam. Good afternoon. Thank you very much for attending our results conference on September 30th. I know that you must be very stressed right now, so let's get down to business, beginning with the turnover. Beginning with the automotive division, I must say that figures have grown by 4% in the last 9 months, but this growth is a mix of several effects that I'd like to mention. On the one hand, we have a negative effect of minus 2% because of the exchange rates. There's also a minus 2% negative effect taking into account the decrease in the price of raw materials in our sales prices. And there's a third effect, and that is that for the first time we have some inorganic growth with the bringing on board of Amaya Telleria, which is about 2%, but there's also the organic growth that is plus 3%. It's been increasing quarter after quarter. In the first quarter, we spoke about 3%, almost 6% in the second quarter. And in the third quarter, we are around 10%. Right from the beginning of the year, we told you that this would be the case because of different reasons. We're mentioning the additional contribution of new projects and then some reasons related to certain geographical areas. Right now we maintain our growth trends of 7% a year that we have set in our strategic plan. And the market context is being quite favorable. We have important growth in the production of vehicles in most areas. If we begin with NAFTA, we have production growth of plus 2% in the last 9 months, and the year will end in similar growth levels. In this case, I'd like to mention that our 7.1% growth without Forex includes two factors. On the one hand, an inorganic of 2% because of the contribution of Amaya Telleria, Mexico, and the pure organic growth of plus 5%. That is, our organic growth is doubling the market. In Brazil, there's been fall in production of minus 16%, but this fall is slowing down, because in the first quarter we spoke of minus 24%, in the second quarter we spoke of minus 40%, and minus 10% in the third quarter. In this context, our evolution is different, and our growth is 8% without Forex. And here we include two factors, an inorganic of 4% because of the contribution by Amaya Telleria, and an organic growth of 4%. Our organic growth is much above the market due to all the projects that we are attracting, taking into account the weakness of many of our competitors, and because of the supplier selection that our clients are making. Now let's move on to Europe, with an increase in production of 3% in the last 9 months, and we believe that the year will end with these figures. And our 3.1% growth includes several factors. We have an inorganic growth of 2%, taking into account the contribution of Amaya Telleria. And there's also a reclassification that we have made with Asia, with the legal company ACS China, that used to report together with its parent company ACS Europe since 2015. And this represents a minus 2% effect that compensates for the previous inorganic growth. Our organic growth in Spain is very much in line with the market. India, with production growth of 9% in the last 9 months, and the year will end at similar levels, we believe. The true thing is that we still haven't caught up with the market, but we have changed the trend in the last few months, and we are growing organically without Forex at a pace of 2% approximately. And due to the commercial success of the launches of our main clients, Mahindra and Tata, and due to the attraction to our new projects with other clients, Finally, China, with a production growth of 11% in the last 9 months, but we believe that the year will end around 7-8% because the third quarter has been strong, taking into account the end of the incentives. And our growth without Forex includes two factors, the effect of the reclassification we have mentioned because of the China reclassification and a pure organic growth of 21%. So here we are doing much better than the market. And as regards our margins, I don't think we need to say much about margins. So we'll just make a few comments about each geographical areas. NAFTA with some excellent margins, even though there's a very complex environment due to the amount of projects under development. Brazil has reached two-digit EBITDA, and it's true that this has been a good quarter, and also the slowing down in the drop of the market makes restructuring costs to disappear, so we are starting some EBITDA margins that should start to be recurrent. Ex Mahindra EBITDA margin in sales above 17%, with the third quarter affected by non-recurrent inefficiencies due to the amount of projects in machining plants in Western Europe. The closure of the plant has been much more complicated than we thought. The closure of the HECO plant, and there are some non-recurrent costs that are affecting the balance sheet. But in order to keep improving, Edmundo Fernandez has been appointed CEO of Mahindra Germany. So with this, we are recovering part of the task force we sent there in November, and thanks to whom in the next three quarters we will keep improving. Finally, Asia. China under continuous improvement thanks to our forging project, and India with solid margins. And with the next three quarters, we hope that you will see the improvements brought about by the new CEO that was appointed and who has taken some important steps, such as the launch this week of a new organization and the launch of R&D teams dedicated to technology. And finally, in automotive, I'd like to mention the M&A. After Amalia Telleria coming, we have announced the purchase of Wilforge, an Indian company. And Wilforge adds to our present India, that is, new clients. Maruti represents 25% of its sales, and Hyundai almost 10%. They are extremely important customers, after all, because they both hold almost 60% of the market share in India. We have new technologies. We have new production poles with their plants in Bangalore in southern India, whereas we were in the center and north of India. New segments, such as two-wheelers, which in India is five times larger than the market of passenger cars. And, of course, strengthening of our managing team, which brings executives who are extremely entrepreneurial. I'd just like to mention that the enterprise value of the transaction represents 178 million euros, which corresponds to a little less than 9 times EBITDA in 2016. 51% is paid in cash and the rest is changed for shares. And so far with the automotive sector, and I'd like to speak about Dominion. We have some cumulative sales at September 30th. That represents a growth of 13%, including an organic growth of 7.5% and an inorganic growth of 6%, of course damaged by the exchange rate that has represented minus 4%. Regarding margins, we are speaking about 12% of our sales. I'm referring to cumulative contribution in line with our guidance. And our objective margin for service is around 10%, and for solutions in 15%. The growth of EBIT with regard to the third quarter last year is 17%. We reach 32 million euros, represent 8% on sales versus 7% last year, and an EBIT of 23%. That represents 22.5 million euros and a 5.5% on sales versus 5% last year. But we have to take into account the acquisitions carried out last year and mergers and acquisitions very active in 2016. I must say we speak about acquisitions that are in, in line with what we expected. The CDI that's already working in attracting projects where that will include the rest of services and solutions. We find major opportunities with in the U.S. and in international projects, and managing a team that is very close to our own culture. The case of Abantia is slightly different, a management which is being slightly complex due to the state of decay that businesses were in after several months of insolvency. We've identified projects in the portfolio that didn't meet the profitability requirements that we demanded, and we are renegotiating some contracts. Finally, in this quarter, we've announced the acquisition of the business unit in renewable energies in the Scorpio company. Here we speak about fixed payment of 8.8 million and a variable payment with a cap of 9 million. And we must speak about the recurrence of our income from our services. We have great visibility of this organic growth of 7% and an EBITDA defined as EBIT of 6%. That is without, and here we've refined this guidance because acquisitions of CDA and Abantia have generated purchase price allocations that we hadn't contemplated before. So far, so results, and just to wrap up with the balance of our situation, complying with our commitment at the end of 2015, we are presenting this balance sheet at 30th September. Its greatest novelty is the incorporation of AT, a negative working capital in line with our management policy, and net financial debt that has gone up to 808 million euros, which represent a ratio of 1.98 times. And the main impact, apart from recurring payments, investments, etc., there are three. The payment of the last earn-out of Beroa in June by 50 million euros, dividend payment of CIE and other dividends for an amount of 30 million euros, and the effect of the integration of Amaya Atelieria with slightly over 150 million euros. And just to remind you that there are 30 million euros of equity of postponed payment 2017. So the earnouts and the acquisitions, all this has prevented 2016 from being a year of great generation. But I must say that the operating cash flow is maintained in all quarters with levels above 50% of the EBITDA, and thus we meet our target. So now I'm at your disposal should you have any questions. And, sorry for the speed. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Questions, answers, if you'd like to ask a question, please dial 01 in order to ensure the quality of the sound. When you ask your questions, please access a fixed line, through a fixed line. Your first question is in Spanish. This is by Jaime Escribano. Go ahead. Hello, good afternoon. I have a question about Dominion and looking at the organic and if you're growing by 7.5% and you were growing 10.6 before, this means that the growth has slowed down to a low digit. Could you give us some feedback on this, on Dominion? And also, and maybe about NAFTA, maybe you could elaborate a little bit more, because here we see that you are growing by a two-digit, from what I can see. Jaime, as regards Dominion, you're right, the growth in different quarters hasn't been similar. The year started better, and this hasn't been the strongest quarter, but we're not concerned with, because the fourth quarter is coming. We know it's going to be very strong, and this is why we are committed to maintain the guidance or the target we mentioned. And I recall a data I gave you, and I think that this is important in order for you to feel more comfortable, and that is the very high recurrence of services that right now represent 61%, and solutions backlog that's also very important. So maybe in the quarter this looked low, but I can tell you that in the fourth quarter we're going to be doing very soundly, very well. One of the things about the project of Antofagasta, that is the hospital, and this is one of the reasons why the third quarter has been weaker, and this is because the fourth quarter is going to be much stronger. You know that seasons matter, are important. There's an effect of seasons, and I would also like to tell you that growth is important. We committed ourselves to 7% and we're going to meet this target, but growth per se in Dominion and Automotive doesn't have to be a target. The target should be a profitable growth, and in this case Dominion, there's a big market, but in spite of this we are being extremely selective regarding what is profitable growth. So this regarding Dominion. As regards NAFTA, you asked a question about NAFTA. It's true that the quarter has been growth, strong in growth, but this is not surprising. It's not surprising, even though it may sound surprising to you. But right from the first quarter, I imagine you remember that our growth in NAFTA wasn't following the market. In the second quarter, it did improve a little bit, but I've always said that the contribution of new projects was gradual, quarter by quarter. So this is precisely what you've seen in the last quarter, and this is what you're going to keep on seeing. Thank you, Lorea. Next question by Álvaro Aristegui from Banco Nación. Go ahead. Hello, Lorea, good afternoon. The report, payment, is this the equity value? There's debt, or can you tell us something about the closure for the year end? It comes with very little debt. We're speaking about less than 10 million euros in debt. And as regards the closure, debt, well, we haven't given any guidance, but if you start from the 800 million we have at September 30th, you know that half a bid forge is going to be paid in equity with the usual generation of the quarter, knowing that there's no pending earnout. So I think that the figure comes out easily. I'd like to remind you what we've always said, and that is that our comfortable debt level is twice the financial debt, including M&A, and I'm not going to be more specific, but I believe that it's quite easy to see what the trend is going to be by the end of the year.
De momento no tenemos...
Okay, for the time being, there are no more questions. If you'd like to ask a question, please dial 01.
No hay más preguntas en la conferencia.
Okay, no further questions. There's a question from Hugo Jackson from Banco Santander. Hi, Lorea. Sorry, I'm Robert Jackson. As regards inorganic growth, what market units you have? You have India, China, etc. There have been changes taking place in Brazil. So what could you say maybe about Brazil and the turnaround that you see in Brazil? What would be the risks in that market? And finally, you spoke about NAFTA, but the grain fields in the last quarter are doing better than expected. Is that trend going to continue? Robert? As regards inorganic M&A and priorities regarding markets, if I were to answer strategically, I'd tell you that our next investments must be in Asia as regards the automotive part, because of a reason, and that is the context of the market itself. There's no other market with the two-digit growth that we witnessed in Asia. Seeing companies like Buildforge would be the most theoretical answer to your question. And I say theoretical answer because M&A is something that's really difficult to predict. We have somebody like Amaya Telleria, who has nothing to do with Asia, but she contributes with a lot. So strategically speaking, it should be Asia, India probably, and from there on maybe Brazil or any opportunities. As regards Dominion, well, I guess we are thinking about the North American market. There are many opportunities there in the U.S. We are considering to invest in Brazil in order to strengthen our presence in Latin America. But once again, for instance, if there's an Avantia, and in the end we end up doing other transactions or operations. And this as regards inorganic, and as regards the situation in the market in Brazil, I was going to say that it's going well, but I shouldn't, because it's a market that keeps falling. But in any case, when I say that it's a good thing, is because in the last couple of years we've seen drops of 21%. The fact that the fall is slowing down is making us think, or is making us be more optimistic. And it sounds as if perhaps they're reaching the bottom. So no matter so, even though the situation is quite dramatic, and it is, this has been favorable for us. We are gaining market share. There are some, there are many small players that will not make it through the crisis, and therefore, and these projects are coming to us. So therefore, our bet for Brazil for investing, restructuring, in the end, this is going to make us winners in this post-crisis market. And then finally, NAFTA. Greenfields stronger than we thought at the beginning. Well, this idea of in 2013 of three strong greenfields of Mexico, the situation has evolved. These plants are normal operating plants where we are not just industrializing this first project that we attracted, with which we did the greenfield, but rather there have been projects that were included afterwards and that were included in those plants, so we no longer call them greenfields. Only you call them greenfields. For us, these plants in Mexico are normal, regular operating plants where we are including new projects. They are doing better than expected. Well, they are doing very well. We thought they were going to be extremely profitable. They are being profitable. Volumes are increasing, which is good. And this doesn't mean that maybe we could make some mistakes. Remember at the end of 2015, the beginning of 2016 with the project with GM in Mexico. Sometimes when there's so much industrialization, so many launches, something may happen. But in general, we must say that we're being very successful. We're really happy. So speaking of greenfield sales in Mexico, around 200 million by the end of 2017. Would that be a reasonable target, objective? Robert, if you remember, we're speaking about 150, 200 million related to four specific orders, which in 2013 led us to launch four projects. Now we're not speaking about this perimeter. We're speaking about four plants that have these projects and more. So speaking about this target alone is not too ambitious, I'd say. Well, thank you very much.